and the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Russia launched an hours-long barrage of drones and ballistic missiles at the Ukrainian capital overnight. At least 8 people were killed in the deadliest attack on Kyiv since last July. The BBC's John Donison reported as a nearby building was collapsing.
All the buildings here have had their windows blown out, the balconies ripped apart, and just to the other side, a whole apartment block has been completely flattened.
12 states are suing the Trump administration, claiming the president's tariffs are illegal. Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays.
The tariffs are illegal. And if allowed to stand, they will drastically increase prices.
A wildfire in southern New Jersey is expected to grow until rain falls in a few days. Forest fire warden Trevor Rayner.
Even with a big show of force to contain this fire, it still grew to be a large wildfire.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Alyssa Kay. The Wisconsin State Senate has passed a bill that would expand Medicaid coverage for postpartum moms. Savannah Tolmay Olson explains why this bill, with broad bipartisan support, still may not become law.
The bill would give women who gave birth an entire year of coverage under Medicaid. Currently, they get it for 60 days. Moms get this year-long coverage in almost every state in the nation. The only exceptions are Arkansas and Wisconsin. And advocates say it saves lives. From 2019 to 2021, Wisconsin had a 30% increase in deaths among pregnant and postpartum women. Democrat Melissa Ratcliffe on the Senate floor.
63 moms died with pregnancy-related issues from 2020 to 2022. One-third of those deaths occurred more than 60 days postpartum. So 21 moms died because they didn't have access to the care that they needed.
Of the 63 women who died, 76% of them were on Medicaid at the time their babies were born. That's according to the DHS legislative director. This bill has broad bipartisan support in both the Senate and the Assembly. The Senate passed it almost unanimously yesterday, and they did the same thing in the last session. But here's the thing. A bill can't pass if it's not called for a vote, and it can't be called for a vote unless the Speaker says so. Speaker Robin Voss had previously said he doesn't support the measure because the state gives out too much free stuff. Here's what he had to say about it yesterday.
My position's been fairly clear from the very beginning. I've never supported an expansion of welfare. I can't imagine that I would ever support one. But we have to talk about it as a clock and see where everybody else is.
The expansion would cost $18.5 million. Wisconsin currently has a surplus of more than $4.5 billion. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And I'm Alyssa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
It's the NFL Draft tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the NFL Draft is getting underway. Thousands of fans and the network's broadcasting live. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst asked, after being just one game away from the Super Bowl 2 years ago, where does he think the team is heading into this season?
I think we're growing. You know, we lost our last three games, right? I think that's a tough pill to swallow. I don't think we can get very far away from that and understand that we got a lot of work to do. But I do like our group. I think they're eager, and I think they're all kind of entering a phase where they're going to be playing their best football. So I think we're really excited about that.
NBA, the Bucks back home getting ready for the Pacers for game 3 tomorrow night. Indy leads that series 2-0. Baseball, Brewers losing to the Giants 4-2. Pat Murphy on the decision to pull Freddie Peralta in the 6th.
We believed that he could do it, and then two quick hits, and then 0-2 to ball 4. I didn't like that, and then he was at 96, and one of those things.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a few scattered off and on showers this afternoon. Our high right around 60. Tonight, some rain. Our low in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, cloudy with more rain. Quarter inch or more possible with a high tomorrow right around 54. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Oh, outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight.
Your timing, good fellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're just like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulsiewicz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. It's 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Thursday morning, April 24th, 2025. Coming up, our guest Sarah Drever is going to talk to us about the recent comments by HHS Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. about autism, what he has to say about what he thinks causes it and what it does to people's lives. And as I said earlier, it might be easier to catalog what he got right rather than all the many things that he got wrong. We'll have that discussion coming up in just a couple of moments. We also have Joe Zepecki joining us at the bottom of the hour to talk about this week's Wisconsin political news, not the least of which is his own run for state Democratic Party chair. He's not the only one running. We talked to William Garcia yesterday in our 8 o'clock hour, and tomorrow in our 8 o'clock hour, we will talk to Devin Remiker, the current executive director of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. They are the three candidates currently. There may or may not be others between now and the state convention in mid-June, but we want to give you every opportunity to hear what they have to say about what they would do to lead Wisconsin progressives after Ben Wickler steps aside. So all that yet to come in this third hour of our newly expanded morning show, which for us also includes another crack at getting a forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot for the state, hoping that in the hour since we talked to her last, that the forecast has changed, and for the NFL draft in Green Bay tonight, there will be sunshine and temperatures in the mid-70s and not a drop of rain. And the look on Brittany's face is telling me the forecast has not changed that much in the past hour.
No, it hasn't. I wish it did. Oh, yeah. I wish it did.
let's look at the positive side, because there are people who are going to be there. They've traveled a long ways. Yeah, there will be a couple of gloomy gusses, you know, they're scowling under their poncho.
Sure.
Others are going to make the most of it. Some of it might be fueled by fermented malt beverages, but they are going to have a good time regardless of what the weather's going to be. So
I agree with you.
Let's tell them what the weather's going to be.
All right. Yes. There's too many events and activities going on and smiles going around that I don't think the weather is going to dampen anything. And of course, it is holding off as long as it possibly can. It actually fills in rain through the entire state, holding off on the Fox Valley to the last possible minute. So that is actually good news for you guys. But throughout the state right now, it is pretty crisp and chilly. It's still below freezing in Hayward, Wisconsin right now at 30 degrees, and it is 57 until Milwaukee. So the state, temperature-wise, is going to see a huge spread. We're looking at near 80 degrees south down by the state line today, mostly 60s central. It'll be 60 degrees into Green Bay and 50s north. And we're looking at that heat just continuing through the day today, and then we lose it tomorrow as this low-pressure system moves in. So what we're looking at is a few spotty showers popping up later on this evening and becoming more steady into the northwestern parts of the state later tonight. Now, it'll spread up into the north overnight, and this will start to move into the Fox Valley then in Titletown, and then some scattered showers start to pop up down south overnight as well. So by tomorrow morning, yes, rain is going to be widespread. It will be heavier pretty much from Minneapolis to the UP, and it'll be lighter elsewhere. We're looking at about a quarter of an inch to fall into the Green Bay area. That should end around noon or so. And for the rest of the state, that, of course, will clear on out of here in the morning hours. So, you know, the clouds are going to be gone by Friday. We are going to be battling some breezy winds out there. So temperatures will only hit highs of about 50 degrees. And it's going to feel much colder because winds are going to be gusting around 30. So if you're going to the draft, pack a poncho, wear layers, get ready for the winds. Saturday is going to be Friday is going to be a little brutal, but Saturday is going to be gorgeous with a ton of sunshine out there for Brad Paisley's concert. Temperatures will be into the 60s again. So honestly, it's really just Friday morning and a little bit of Friday afternoon is a little brutal.
And we're still facing a shortfall of precipitation in many areas. And so this is actually needed rain that we're getting. Poorly timed, but needed just the same. So
it was like Mother Nature's first round draft pick was to dampen the NFL draft.
Yes. But, you know, sometimes it's those late round picks that are ones that really shine.
True.
And I mean that literally might be shining later on. Thank you, Brittany, very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot giving us an update on the statewide forecast. And she'll have local forecasts, of course, throughout the day here across the Civic Media Radio Network. A little later on, we're going to check the mailbag. Several folks sending in comments or questions about some of the topics that we covered already. One asking about the emoluments clause and why isn't the Trump family being prosecuted for that. There's one about what can be done now that voter ID has been put into the Wisconsin Constitution, if anything, and more. So a quick reminder that you can send in your questions or comments a couple of different ways. If you are watching on Facebook or YouTube, just put something in the comment section. We'll see it. Maybe pop it up on screen. You can also use the Civic Media app to text or call us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or you can email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And you can also email us your thoughts on our question of the week that we put in our Sunday morning Wisconsin politics newsletter, which this time around is, what do you think Wisconsin should do with the governor's almost limitless partial veto powers? Because as you may have heard last week, the state Supreme Court upheld a partial veto that allowed the governor to extend increases in school aid annually for 400 years. And that's not unconstitutional. It's a little funny. Maybe it needs to be adjusted, but maybe it doesn't. Maybe you think the partial veto needs to stay as is so that bills can be modified rather than vetoed, forcing the legislature to start all over. So what are your thoughts on what Wisconsin should have for a partial veto or not? Radio@upnorthnewswi.com or the comment sections of the Facebook pages for Up North News or Civic Media, or the YouTube pages of Up North News and Civic Media. All right, let's talk for a bit about comments that were made last week by Secretary of Health and Human Services, Robert Kennedy. And yeah, I still have trouble saying that out loud as well, but he is the Secretary of Health and Human Services. And when talking about a new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention about the rates of autism among children in the U.S., he spread a lot of falsehoods. He offended a lot of people, not the least of which was this quote. And I'm not going to play the tape. I don't need to give him extra publicity, but here are the words he used. "These are kids who will never pay taxes. They'll never hold a job. They'll never play baseball. They'll never write a poem. They'll never go out on a date. Many of them will never use a toilet unassisted." That's all garbage. And people are rightly calling it out as such, some in very strong terms. And we happen to notice online the comments of Sarah Drever, who joins us now as well, a mother of two who can tell us much more about family life with autism and what it means to have a Health and Human Services Secretary talking like this. Sarah Drever, good morning. How are you?
Hi. Good morning, Pat. I'm doing well.
Okay. Let me just leave it very open-ended for you, because obviously when you heard Secretary Kennedy's comments, you went online and really called him to task. So tell us a bit more about what you said and why.
Yeah. I know that your team found me by seeing my comments on Facebook, but most of my response was actually directly to the quote that you already read, specifically calling out things that autistic individuals will never be able to do. And I brought up my kiddos as an example. As you said, I'm a mother of two, so I have twin boys. They're 5 years old, and they're both on the spectrum. They both have autism spectrum disorder. So when I heard that quote, obviously, I kind of went into mama bear mode and thought about my children and the fact that they are absolutely capable of all of those things. In fact, they're already capable of reciting poetry. They will likely do a lot of the other things that he mentioned as well. My kiddos speak three languages, so I would argue that they can communicate better than a lot of neurotypical people and neurotypical children at age five. So they're incredibly impressive. And I also identify as a neurodiverse individual for being on the spectrum. I would argue all of us are on the spectrum because it is a spectrum, but I have ADHD. And I also took it very personally when he says things like these folks will never pay taxes or hold a job. I have a doctorate. I have a job. I'm a contributing member of society. I volunteer often. I consider myself a good neighbor and community member. And I show up. So I think it's really scary. And I think a lot of parents and advocates were rightly scared because the language that he was using also lifts up and brings about messages of eradication, you know, ending, cure, instead of using language like better understand or accommodate or advocate. So now with mention of Robert Kennedy Jr.'s idea of wanting to have an autism registry, obviously a lot of us are scared. We're thinking about other things that he said, like autism destroys families. I'm here to say that autism is very much a part of my family, and it makes my family better, incredible.
It's really something that we're talking about these comments on the fifth anniversary of President Trump making comments about, you know, injecting disinfectant into the body to cure COVID or shining a light into it, because it would seem like this would be the perfect time for a president to say, no, my Health and Human Services Secretary got it wrong. This is not where I stand. But clearly, based on Trump's previous comments, there may be more than a little bit of support for what Robert Kennedy Jr. had to say. And this whole notion now that in his quest to find a, quote, cause and cure for autism, he wants to begin collecting Americans' private health records is more than a little disturbing, Sarah.
Very disturbing. And as I mentioned, I think that's why a lot of the response from especially parents, caregivers, family members is fear. I'm also confused. I think a lot of the leadership currently and the executive orders that have been passed are a lot of them that have to do with halting federal funding and slowing down or ceasing medical research. Those seem directly contradictory to a lot of the things that RFK Jr. is saying he wants to do. And so, yeah.
It's hard to say you're looking for a cure for something while you're also cutting cancer research and so many other things. Sarah Drever is an advocate for the neurodiverse community and talking about Robert Kennedy Jr.'s comments on autism. Still ahead this hour, we'll be talking to Joe Zepecki from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Oh, before I forget, Milwaukee Brewers lost yesterday 4-2 in San Francisco, and they will wrap up that four-game series coming up this afternoon, 2:10 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Doorman, I need you to check the voicemail today. I'm completely swamped.
Sure thing. A doorman at your service.
Hey, my garage door won't open, or only one side opens. I can't get my car through that.
My garage door motor is running, but the door doesn't move.
Sir, your photo eye sensor is clouded over, or you may have a blocked track.
Thank you, doorman.
Your emergency manual release cord was disconnected.
Those kids.
Children are a delight. We've reconnected it. DoorWorks for the win.
Your Republican Senator Patrick Teston wants to unconstitutionally raise your utility bills after President Trump promised Wisconsin ratepayers he would cut energy bills in half. Trump's DOJ has already weighed in on ROFR legislation in other states and called out the significant harm it would cause consumers if passed. Call Senator Patrick Teston at 608-266-3123 and tell him to stand with President Trump and the Constitution by voting no on ROFR. Paid for by the Electricity Transmission Competition Coalition.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome, everybody, to the Rapids Report. You have your host, James J. Maloff, here. And welcoming into the WFHR studio our great friends from ODC. And we got Sarah Hoth with us right now, Assistant Director of Mental Health Operations. Sarah, I feel like it's been forever since we've seen you and had you on the air with us. It's good to see you. Thanks for being here.
It's good to see you, too.
Always good to talk with the ODC and catch up with you guys over there. We're going to dive into an end of things that I don't know that we always get the chance to talk about today, though.
Sure.
So go ahead and start us off. Where do you want to begin?
Well, today I really want to talk a little bit more about our mental health services that we offer at ODC. But one really kind of exciting update that I want to share with the listeners is our new CEO who's going to be onboarding. Yeah. So the board of directors of ODC is really pleased to announce that Erin Smith has been hired as the next CEO of ODC, and she will officially join the organization on May 5th of 2025. And the board really wants to thank Julie Strenn, our current CEO, for the past 5 years with ODC, and she will be leaving in May. So there'll be a little bit of transition time as Erin steps into this new role. And we're very excited about her past work experience and what she will lend to the organization.
Certainly know a little bit about transitioning around here. We're doing some of that ourselves. So while we encourage people and people that use the services at the ODC to maybe have a little grace while that change happens, you guys are so good at things over there. I'm sure that things are going to go smoothly. And I'd also like to shout out Julie and the work that she did for our community and over there. And really do appreciate her. And looking so forward to getting to meet Erin and seeing what she's going to be able to do with this position. She's great, and it's a great fit, all of these things. So it's for somebody who loves the ODC and generally can say that, it's encouraging, it's wonderful to hear, and it's that just keeping things moving over there, you know, and keeping up the great work. Excited about that, and thank you for starting there, Sarah. I appreciate it. I didn't know if you wanted to start there or not, so I appreciate you starting there. It's good news, a great place to begin, and we're looking forward to talking with Erin more. So want to get into mental health with you as well. As this is May is Mental Health Awareness Month coming right up. We're getting people ready for that. And, you know, Sarah, something I think you and I have even talked about before, where our society has gone. We are so quick to take shots or to point out things that aren't going well. I feel like we need to more often look at the wins, big wins, small wins, all that. And as somebody who has spent my whole life talking about mental health with my mother or other family members, I'm very thankful that we're at a point in society where you and I are having this conversation on the air, talking like this, and we're not talking like this in a corner or something. The way we used to treat mental health. It is not to say that there isn't work to be done and some heavy lifting that is going to happen. But I'm encouraged by this. I'm encouraged that we're seeing more of an essence put into it, an effort put into mental health, especially on this level with the ODC.
Absolutely. There's been a lot of stigma around mental health in the past, and I feel like our society is really going in the right direction of breaking down that stigma in all different age ranges, child, adolescents, adults, seniors. We're really trying to work and make sure that people, if they need services, can get access to those services and know that they're available to them.
You guys have been doing this for a while over there. Can we get in some of the history about the clinic that you're referencing?
Sure. So Opportunity for Hope is the outpatient mental health clinic that ODC opened in July of 2022. So we're relatively new and still growing. We have six licensed staff with us right now. Two are LPCs, one is an LCSW, and we have three LPCITs. And I know that may not mean a lot to listeners. That's a lot of acronyms. But if folks are in the clinical field, they understand we're looking at fully licensed staff as well as some staff who are still working towards full licensure and getting their clinical hours in.
Thank you for that, Sarah. I knew what you meant, but just for the audience, no, I did not know what you meant. Thank you for that. It's really good. That's another encouraging thing to see in here. Knowing that kind of effort is being put into this. Especially for any person out there listening, you know that you've got, we all have our struggles. We all have our bad, our good days and everything. For the clients at the ODC to be able to focus on this and put this much attention to it is not only, I think, vital in some ways, but it's also for the betterment of them and our community. It really is. Like most things, if not every single thing we talk about with the ODC, there is a domino effect that happens that benefits the community. Mm-hmm. Every answer ends up with, and it benefits the community. This is another one of those ones that does. That's really cool to hear.
Well, and I think it's really important to note, this might be a misconception about Opportunity for Hope Clinic, is that we serve everybody, the general public. You do not have to be an ODC client to participate in our mental health services. You do not have to have a physical or intellectual disability to participate in our Opportunity for Hope outpatient mental health clinic. It is an open to the public general clinic.
It's something I in my head I want to start with, and I don't mention it nearly enough. Thank you. I appreciate that. And it's important to note, certainly to the community, but again, also to the when we mentioned the amount of people that are involved in this clinic and helping out and everything, that's why we got so many hands on deck, is this is open to everybody. When it comes to where we provide these services, can you touch on that for us?
Sure. So our main clinic is in Wisconsin Rapids. It's actually carved into the ODC building on Huntington Avenue. And then we have another clinic location in Stevens Point. And then we're really proud to be serving five school districts as well. So we are in Pittsville Elementary, Nakusa School District, so both elementary, middle school, high school, Howe Elementary in Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point Kennedy Elementary, and then also Almond Bancroft School District. So really trying to focus in on some of our local schools, but also kind of getting those outliers in central Wisconsin, those more rural areas that are harder to access and harder for folks to leave to come to town for in-person appointments at our clinic locations.
Well, that's so key, especially not only because of weather and other factors, but certainly just mobility and mm-hmm. some of that for individuals. That is a wonderful thing to be able to offer. And to just piggyback on the schools part of things, mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a time where so many people thought, oh, we'll never get down recycling. Oh, recycling, that seems like I got to look at all these different things and I got to put it in a separate container. Nobody will ever do that. And here we are, you know, 20, 30 years into this and everything, and nobody even thinks twice about it. They just recycle now. Well, when that happened in society, most people kind of just look at everyday households. But the real change happened when they started including recycling in schools. And kids grew up with this. Mm-hmm. And it was just routine for them to do this and everything. Mental health, I think, can be a very similar topic.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Democrats are introducing a bill that would codify abortion rights in Wisconsin. The Abortion Rights Restoration Act would repeal the state's 1849 abortion ban and eliminate required ultrasounds and a 24-hour waiting period. Other states like Minnesota and Colorado have gotten their own old abortion laws off the books after the Dobbs decision, which repealed Roe v. Wade at the federal level. Tanya Atkinson, CEO of Planned Parenthood Wisconsin.
This bill is about protecting a person's ability to decide for herself what kind of reproductive health care is needed. This bill is about protecting healthcare professionals from criminal punishments for providing patient-centered and medically indicated healthcare.
Dr. Ashlyn Brown says the bill would also get rid of the information healthcare providers are required to give to patients that's dictated by lawmakers and isn't backed up by evidence.
Restrictions forcing physicians like me to read a script riddled with medically inaccurate information, scare tactics, and frankly biased language about the abortion care that they need is not evidence-based medicine. There is no other type of healthcare where patients are questioned extensively, given biased information, and forced to wait when they know what is right for them.
In a Republican-controlled legislature, the measure is unlikely to pass. Senator Kelda Royce.
We have a Republican administration in Washington, D.C. that is extremely hostile to abortion rights. You know, we used to have 20 years ago, we had Republicans that were pro-choice. It would be, I think, better if more Republican politicians actually reflected the Republican electorate, which has plenty of pro-choice Republicans.
Legislative Republicans didn't immediately offer a response to the bill. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is currently considering the state's 1849 abortion ban. That decision could come any time. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you were a fan of Malcolm in the Middle, you'll want to hear this. The 25th anniversary reboot of the show is currently in production in Vancouver. Deadline reports that the Fox show, which first dropped in 2000, will air four new episodes on Disney+. Bryan Cranston, Jane Kaczmarek, and Frankie Muniz will all revise their roles. The original Malcolm produced 151 episodes over seven seasons. Speaking of Frankie Muniz, if you're wondering what the 39-year-old actor has been up to, the answer is racing. Muniz launched a career as a full-time NASCAR driver just recently. He was not happy with his finish in a recent race on April 18th, where his power steering line burst and he injured his hand while compensating. Muniz was also involved in an accident during a race in Bristol, Tennessee in early April. Sounds like I could beat him with my Honda. The actor says if he had to choose between acting or racing, he would choose racing. If things keep going the way they're going, they will be looking for a new middle child on Malcolm. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a few scattered off and on showers this afternoon. Our high right around 60. Tonight, some rain. Our low in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, cloudy with more rain. Quarter inch or more possible with a high tomorrow right around 54. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulswitz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
All right, joined now by Joe Zepecki, who, along with giving us his usual weekly analysis of Wisconsin political happenings, is one of the Wisconsin political happenings as he's running for chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And again, I hasten to add, with all the candidates, we're talking to all of them, William Garcia on Wednesday, and then Devin Remicker at 8:30 on Friday morning. Joe Zepecki, how are you?
Well, I believe I was the only one to announce it and make my first public appearance on your very show, Pat.
You most certainly will, and were, and we are very appreciative of that. So you are a whole week in the books of campaigning. How's it going?
I can't tell if it's felt more like a month or more like 24 hours, yeah. But somewhere in there. It's going really, really well. We're picking up a lot of support. People are reacting, you know, very positively to the calls for change with how we communicate as a party. To how we fine-tune year-round organizing, and to, you know, on the flip side of the coin, how we make sure we continue to raise the resources necessary to compete and win as a Democratic Party. So I've got hundreds of miles down already and about another 1,100 to go between now and Sunday. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, we've got this is the season for ahead of the state party conventions. This is both Democrats and Republicans. There are the congressional district level conventions, and you've got to make that big run between the 7th congressional district convention this weekend and then the 3rd congressional district convention. That run from Hayward to La Crosse. I have done that multiple times, and you're doing that this weekend. But you got to go where the people are.
I'm sure it's a beautiful drive. I'm glad I'll be doing it in daylight and not in the dead of night.
Yes, because I've done that both ways too. One is most definitely preferable to the other. And along with all of that, you know, we talked to Sarah Godlewski very short time ago, who is now running for first vice chair of the party as well, talking about all the road trips that include town halls where Republican members of Congress are invited to show up, but have not really been big on meeting with their constituents of late.
No. Where is the Wisconsin Republican Party? I mean, they're nowhere. I was out in La Crosse the other night. Mark Pocan did a empty chair town hall in the district of Derek Van Orden. Mr. Van Orden doesn't want to take questions from his constituents unless he gets to pre-screen them. And I want to point this part out. This was an open to the public event that Pocan was doing outside of his own district. There was no screening in terms of who was in the room. And so you had a couple of college Republicans wearing Derek Van Orden t-shirts and MAGA hats. You know what Mark Pocan did? He took their question. It wasn't a very nice question, but he took it and he answered it respectfully. There was a MAGAverse streamer who, we're talking like the Newsmax or further to the right, who had a ridiculous, disrespectful question. And I don't mean disrespectful that he asked the question. I mean the tone of voice and the way he asked Pocan the question about trans athletes. You know what Mark did? He answered the question. And that is the job. If you hold a position of public trust that the people elected you to, is to go out and face hard questions. Derek Van Orden is apparently not interested in that. Ron Johnson is apparently not interested in that. Tom Tiffany does not appear to be interested in that. And you know, it really gives away the game. They know that what they're doing is not popular. they know that they are complicit in an administration that is taking a blowtorch to the Constitution, that is creating economic upheaval for no reason, right? Sometimes there's an economic crisis because something happens, like a terrorist attack or a natural disaster or a pandemic. Donald Trump inherited a healthy economy, not a perfect economy, but the most healthy economy in the world. And this is all self-inflicted by Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans who have just stood back and said, okay, boss, you do what you want to do. We're willing to sacrifice and cede our constitutional authority. So are they too embarrassed to go before their constituents? They should be, but it still kind of gives away the game.
Yeah, I mean, who knows how much of it is embarrassment because they know better, how much of it is complicity. And you mentioned, you know, when times aren't good, and I would again invoke personal privilege here to say that, you know, during my time in the legislature, the housing bubble had burst, the markets tanked, there was the Great Recession that was upon us, and tough decisions had to be made. You know what we still did? We still held our town halls. I held 100 of them during my 4 years as a state senator. Russ Feingold went to 72 counties every single time. I watched as those crowds got increasingly hostile, as more Republicans felt the need to come in and, again, act disrespectful in the way that you did. Did Russ Feingold stop? No. It's part of the job is to talk to people, even the ones who want to be rude to you. And, you know, so good on you and Mark Pocan and others who are still trying to follow through with this, because people deserve to know their concerns are being heard.
Sure do.
Let's ask you about stories that were in the news this past week here. I believe it was after our discussion last week that the Wisconsin Supreme Court put out a decision, 4-3, that upheld a partial veto that allowed an increase in school aid to go on for 400 years because of the way the partial veto is structured. It's awkward. It's a little unpleasant. Even the progressive justices said as much, but it's not unconstitutional. I asked in our weekend newsletter what people think. Should we keep this as is, as a necessary check on a renegade legislature, or is this a little too far and we need to rein it in? Do we just have a straight up or down veto on the whole bill? No partial vetoes. What were your thoughts after the state Supreme Court decision last week?
I think this is not one that anybody should get their dander up about. Wisconsin's governor has extraordinary line item veto power and always has. The Vanna White veto, the most famous of which was Tommy Thompson taking pages and pages of a budget to cross out most of words or whole words to create new words to build a new highway that the legislature had not authored. You may know this story better than I, Pat, but like, this is tale as old as time. The Wisconsin governor has a mighty veto pen, and they wield it. And, you know, that was the Vanna White veto that Tommy used. This approach is something that Tony Evers had done, which was in question before the court, is very similar to something that Scott Walker had done, where Scott Walker locked something in for 1,000 years. It was a 1,000-year veto. You know, Tony Evers was only doing a 400-year line item veto. This is the way it goes. I'm curious what we're going to end up calling the vetoes that lock something in for a long time in the future. Our friend Bill McCoshin, Republican strategist, suggested the Jetsons veto because it's for so far into the future. That's not bad. I think we might be able to do better, but that's usually the case when Bill's talking.
That's right. So we'll continue to see how that's wielded, especially with this next state budget that is still being formed. It should be the thing the legislature, controlled by Republicans, is working on most often and most frequently. And instead, we're getting, as we did yesterday, these sideshows. And in this case, I'm speaking specifically about a press release from Senator Eric Wimberger from Oconto, talking all about the legislature's audit committee that held a public hearing into the millions of taxpayer dollars spent on Governor Evers' unconstitutional orders about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And it just seems if you're spending your time fighting diversity and holding hearings on what used to be a really bipartisan committee, Joe. The audit committee used to rise above all of those and simply looked into genuine abuse or waste of taxpayer dollars. These folks have really taken even that bipartisan committee around the bend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, your father and your grandfather's Republican Party is gone. Don't take my word for it. Take, you know, Todd Alba and Trivigy Olson, who I was talking with yesterday on air, his word for it. There's only one serious political party left. The Republican Party is not a serious political governing party anymore. It just isn't. And, you know, those are their choices. And they do not see the hypocrisy in attacking, you know, reasonable, effective, proven out diversity, equity, and inclusion policies, because we now live in the Trump era of meritocracy, where Peter Hegseth, the least qualified person in the Fox Green Room to run the Pentagon, the world's largest bureaucracy, clearly is the most worthy person of that role, and it's why his leadership at the Pentagon is falling apart and his inner circle is crumbling. Like, they don't believe in meritocracy, and they don't believe in diversity, equity, and inclusion. They believe in might makes right, and if they can make a buck, corrupt or otherwise, that is what they will do. They are centralizing power like authoritarian regimes have done before, and it doesn't matter that Hegseth isn't qualified. It matters that he's loyal, and that should scare all of us. And so when you see state Republicans chirping about, you know, nonsensical, non-existent waste, fraud, and abuse, we should just call it out for what it is, which is hypocritical nonsense. And I want to be really clear. There is sometimes waste, fraud, and abuse in government, and it should always be identified and rooted out, and there should be accountability. But that's not what the Republicans are talking about, right? Republicans are doing things like firing inspectors general in Washington. They're not actually serious about it. They just want to use it to distract you from the fact that they are further fixing the economy for those at the very top so they can do another tax cut to their big donors and big corporations. And we have to get wise to that and make sure people understand that's what they're doing.
And what a study in contrast to find that instead on the Democratic side, you had legislators yesterday introducing a bill that would restore women's reproductive health rights and remove many of the abortion care restrictions that have no business being in a doctor's exam room. Now, look, the legislature is controlled by Republicans. It's not going to pass. Why is it still important for Democratic lawmakers to introduce bills like this and to talk about them?
So that people know where we stand. And I want to applaud the Assembly Democrats for doing that. I also want to applaud Assembly and Senate, or excuse me, Senate Democrats for pushing once again to pass the extension of maternal Medicaid. There are 48 states that have done this to protect new moms and babies from the first year of a baby's life. Wisconsin and Arkansas are the only two states that haven't done so. And the reason is one person, Robin Voss. Yesterday, state Senate took it up, passed it 32-1. Overwhelmingly bipartisan support, 32-1. And now we need to put the pressure on Robin Voss to bring that to a vote. It has more than 50 assembly co-sponsors, which means if it comes to the floor, it will pass and we will be able to better support new moms and babies. Let's get this done.
Joe Zepecki is running for state chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Here's what we've got tomorrow morning on the program. Our Week in Review panel of Jennifer Schulze, Jim Santel, Mark Jacob. We've got Kiev Akil from Courier Newsroom, Dan Schumacher talking sports and the NFL draft, and Kristen Lyerly. I'm Pat Kreitlow, reminding you to never settle for anyone who wants to take this nation short on his full promise, liberty and justice for all.
Engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Given the concerns about tariffs, inflation, and the economy, we may see some instability in the financial markets. As an investor, how can you cope? Your best strategy can be summed up in one word: diversification. It can't guarantee profits or prevent all losses, but it can help you manage risk and market fluctuations. Here's why. Different types of financial assets can move in different directions at any given time, so stocks may be up while bonds are down, or vice versa. If you own both of these types of assets, and others besides, your portfolio would likely fare better than if you only owned one type of asset, and that asset was affected by a market downturn. How you diversify your portfolio will depend on your own risk tolerance, time horizon, and financial goals. But however you do it, diversification should always be a driving force behind your investment strategy.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Edward Jones financial advisor in Wisconsin Rapids. Contact him at 715-421-0958.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Attention Badger fans, memories are made at Camp Randall, so bring your group and be part of the action this fall. Whether you're planning your team outing or just looking to get together with your crew, Badger football group experiences are your ticket to unforgettable moments and new traditions. Take advantage of discounts and exclusive game day experiences when you lock in your group tickets today. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker in a move for the ages. 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sports.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. WIRI's Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Hope you all are having a great Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for joining us. All right, let's go. I'm trying some different stuff out. I'm going to try some different ones out here, see what works for bumper music and what works for our intro music. I think Beer for My Horses is going to be it, though.
That's a good one.
I can't help it. There's something about Toby Keith that always gets me. Michael Comer here, sports director at WFHR and WIRI. James Jay with you as well. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a good Wednesday out there.
Oh, yeah.
We're taking phone calls. We're wide open. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. We're looking forward to talking. You can text us or call in through the Civic Media app. Encourage you to do that. Let us know that the phones are working. we love talking with you, everybody. And this is something, too, that I think that the audience, because we got the best listeners in radio on both
for sure.
these stations. Them, us, everybody's got to also kind of understand and have some grace with. This is new. This is different. You know, there's people flipping on the radio right now. Like, what is going on? I wanted to hear Eric Church. Why am I hearing him? You know, so it's going to be a little different, and that's okay. You know, we for one thing, nobody does different or weird like we do here. I'll tell you that. I'm proud of that.
I'll vouch for you. That's
yes,
you, man.
Definitely. But we also know that this is going to take some getting used to, and also just people knowing that it's even on. I mean, just being blunt about it. We don't have a lot of backing when it comes to advertising and that. So we're really appreciative to our sponsors and to the word of mouth of these listeners and everybody else. Call up, join the conversation, or just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app. Thank you all for downloading the app. Michael and I are going through a bit of a mock draft of our own here at Playmakers, and we are up to the late first round where Green Bay is stationed.
Yeah, we were just about pick 13. We're with Miami,
yeah,
and talking about probably looking to a quarterback. But then if you look at that, 14, the Colts, 15, Falcons, 16, Cardinals, 17, Bengals, 18, Seahawks, 19, Buccaneers, 20, Denver. They all have quarterbacks of the future. They've all got guys they're going to have. Yeah. And that's the way it's going to be up until you get to pick about, 21 with Pittsburgh and the elephant in the room we just got done talking about with Aaron. And then 22 to the San Diego L.A. Chargers, and they've got their quarterback. And then you go to 23 where the Packers have a quarterback, but where are they going to go?
So real quick, before we go to get to Green Bay, I have a question for you and the audience about Pittsburgh. If Pittsburgh drafts Jackson Dart, Shedeur Sanders, or something like that, do you think Rodgers doesn't sign there? Because I almost feel like this is almost a standoff right now where there's not a lot of options for him. And it's almost as Pittsburgh or bust in some ways. So if it, say New, especially if New Orleans grabs a quarterback like we all think they're going to, and there's no real timetable on Derek Carr, so he'd be sitting there too.
Yeah, he's up on blocks.
Where Pittsburgh, it's Aaron Rodgers or insert rookie name. It feels like it's one or the other. I wonder, for him, it's one or the other.
I've had a lot of time to ponder this, and I've been pondering it. Would Aaron be as gutsy? I had another term, but would he be as gutsy to sit there and say, "All right, Pittsburgh, I'll come play ball for you. I'll do my best." Because he's not going to. Well, you don't think he's going to sandbag it. Mm. But do you think he would say, barring an injury, that I am your starter all year? That you do not bench me for your. Do you think he'd hold them hostage like that?
You know what? I'm saying this is I think Mike Tomlin may be the best coach in football. It's a way of smacking that right in the face of like a good coach eating his own words and putting his foot in his mouth from last year and saying Russell's our starter and Russell's going to be our starter. Russell's our starter. All that, and then you get the trade for Justin Fields and having to kind of. Almost take back his words a little bit. Yep. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm leaning heavy on that if I make that deal. If I am, yeah. And I'll say this. If they go Jackson Dart, everybody's telling you Jackson Dart needs time. He's not ready to go. So in that situation, maybe it's not so bad.
I think it really depends on the pick.
Yeah,
yeah. Because if it's someone
guys might even be there.
I mean, that's one thing. If Aaron can sit there, with the ego that he groomed the next one.
I just realized something.
You can't believe it's not butter?
That actually occurred to me a couple years ago.
Okay,
and that
all right.
really rocked me. That right. I'd take a couple days off work.
Oh, yeah.
with Aaron Rodgers, this is more than likely his last year. I think that's pretty fair to say. I don't think I'm saying anything far-fetched there. Either way, if this is his last year, and it's ending almost like it began, where he's sitting there watching the first round on pins and needles, waiting to see what happens with these teams.
That's a heck of a book ending.
Oh, is that a great storyline? Oh, the storyteller of me loves where this is going. I have no idea where it's going to go, but I do think it's interesting, that storyline part of it. With Green Bay, I would like to see them make a move up if things don't fall the way that it looks like they could. Right now, most people are projecting them to take one of these top wide receivers.
Yeah, Matthew Golden out of that ugly burnt orange team south of the Red River.
Yeah. Wouldn't be, I don't think him or the McMillan kid would be bad picks.
No.
They're both burners. They're both good in their own different ways, while at the same time, I think, bring you something that they don't have in that offense right now. Without knowing... you can't count on Christian Watson right now. That's nothing against him as a young man. I wish him the best.
Or Romeo or anything like that. Yeah, or Reed or anybody. It's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, there's a big difference of are they tough or is their body's just not able to do this? Yeah. There's a big difference to me. And to me, those guys have proven their toughness 15 times over long before they even put on an NFL uniform, let alone what they've done in the NFL. It's more about you don't know. Even if they are playing, I don't know that I can count on them for 15, 16, 17 games.
I mean,
if you're Green Bay, you're not playing a 17-game season. You're playing a 20-game season. You're looking at this the long run. That's the way that Green Bay, Detroit, all these teams should be approaching it. If they're not, then they're going to be ending their season in Week 16, Week 17.
Right, and that's one thing with Green Bay is you touched on it. How is Watson going to come back from that injury? I don't know. I mean, it's a bad one. I was there. I saw it, and you didn't think anything happened.
Right. You were there,
But when that Chicago player's jumping up and down, screaming, waving for the trainers to come.
Yep. Join James and all his guests on Playmakers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. on 105.5 WIRI.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, a surprising statement this morning from President Trump criticizing Russian President Vladimir Putin. Here's CBS's Michael Wallace.
On social media, Trump posted, quote, "I am not happy with the Russian strikes on Kyiv. Not necessary and very bad timing. Vladimir, stop. 5,000 soldiers a week are dying. Let's get the peace deal done."
Those strikes killed at least 8 people and injured dozens. China's denying the president's assertion that the two countries are in active negotiations over tariffs. CBS's Ed O'Keefe has that.
This morning, China's Ministry of Commerce pushed back, saying any claims about the progress of China-U.S. trade negotiations are groundless.
A man's been arrested and charged with setting a huge wildfire in southern New Jersey. Amy Zettel of Lacey Township is back home after fleeing that fire.
It's a nerve-wracking feeling. It's unsettling just because we could go back home. I didn't even put any of my stuff back in the house. It's like in the garage in bags just in case.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.